Let's get in it. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. Last week, we talked about how sin is our choice. Amen? So, in other words, if we're going to do wrong, it's because we choose to do wrong. If we're going to do right, it's because we choose to do right. And so as we look at the scriptures today, Paul expounds on that even more. And he says, hey, look here in 6:15, in Romans 6:15. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. And so he says, listen, because you are saved now, he's referencing born again, because you are saved now, because you are a child of God's now, you should not, just because you're going to be forgiven doesn't give you a license to sin. How many do you know? Of course, I know it's nobody in here, but how many people do you know that because they're saved, they go, well, hey, I'm going to heaven. I'm already forgiven, so I can do whatever I want. How many of you know somebody like that, right? And you go, but that's not what it is. And they go, or you tell them, hey, you're not supposed to do that because, you know, Jesus didn't save you to sin. He saved you so you could live a righteous life. And you know, Jesus is going to hold you accountable. And they'll go, that's not my Jesus. I got freedom to do what I want. And Paul says, we don't have the freedom. I mean, we have the freedom to sin. Amen. We do. We have the freedom to do that. It's called free will. We can choose to sin, and we can choose to do wrong. We can choose to do whatever we want to do. But what is best for us and what glorifies God? That's really what we want to do. And there's a huge difference if we choose to sin versus choosing to glorify God. So Paul starts out asking the question. Then let's go to 16, verse 16. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? As Paul unfolds this, he says, listen, submission is required, but you will be a slave to the one you listen to. You will either be a slave to righteousness and good things are going to happen, or you're going to be a slave to sin and there'll be a huge price. Now, let me say this. When you're in the sin, let's just face it. Sometimes it's just fun. Amen. Come on, guys, right? Some of you are secretly going, oh, yeah, it was good. It is. It's fun. But, man, what happens when your sin is revealed? It gets crushing, doesn't it? When you got to pay the price for that sin, it gets crushing. And what happens is, Paul's saying, listen, when you're in that and you're serving that, you are sin's slave. Or if you're going to serve God, then you are a slave to righteousness. But either way, it's the one you serve. That's why he calls it a slave, because you're serving righteousness or you're serving sin. You're a slave. And Paul says, listen, I'm going to tell you, it's fun, and you're going to, once you're in it, you are going to live or die by the one you serve. If you serve righteousness, we live under a great God, amen? If you serve sin, you're going to die that death. Which one are we going to choose? Matthew 6:20, or I'm sorry, let me back up one, John 6. 63 says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Listen, this old flesh, there's no profit in it. Man, we're going to die. We're just going to go back to dust. It's not going to go to heaven because it's full of sin and it's corrupt. And so it's just going to go to the ground and go back to dirt and there's nothing in it. But I'm going to tell you, it's the spirit that gives life. Which one are we going to serve? As we're looking through Romans, and we're going to talk through this, Paul is really focuses a lot on sin and our attitude toward it, sin and our actions toward it, sin and the way we look at it, what we choose. And so sometimes you would think it becomes redundant, but it really doesn't, because he says over here in the beginning of 6, listen, this is your choice. And now in the second half of 6, this is the way it's going to look. And if you're serving sin, you're a slave. I want you to look at Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. And so as we looked at that verse, listen, when you are serving sin, you're not thinking about God. Would somebody agree with that? Yeah, listen, if you're serving sin and you're taking care of the flesh, God is not the one you're honoring. Now, you might think of God for a moment where you go, oh, this is wrong, because if you're saved, the Holy Spirit says, listen, what you're doing is wrong. And so in your mind, you go, yep, this is wrong. But you're so into the sin that you don't care. And then it's just a matter of time before you're right here with God. And then each time you sin, by the way, God doesn't move. If you have a problem with your relationship with God, it's because you walked away, not because he did. And so we sin again. God stayed there. And we're sinning again. And we're sinning again. And what's happening, guys? We get further and further away from God. And you know the thing is, people say distance makes the heart grow fonder. Yeah, for something or somebody else. Amen? Listen, as you walk away from God and you stay away from God, what's going to happen is you're going to be loyal to the sin and you're going to despise God. Because all of a sudden God says, whoa, what you're doing is wrong, but it's so good we go, I don't want to give it up. God, I'm not listening to you anymore. And we get caught up in it. Especially those who, how many in here, I'm just curious, you're not admitting to any sin. But how many in here have an addictive personality? Yeah, right? So for you, it takes a lot more discipline to stay on track, doesn't it? Because, man, you get this addictive personality where you taste something and it's good and you just can't get enough of it. And so you got to learn to control yourself and stop, because if not, you're going to stay away from God. And you'll just keep feeding the flesh. Kind of like those cookies I talked about last week. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody asked, what kind was it? And so I told them. But there was none on my desk this morning, so. No, I'm kidding. Okay, don't buy me any, because, man, I'll eat them. I'll eat them, and I'm trying to keep this flat. And so, you know, I went yesterday, we went to the mall. I was going to get a new pair of pants, because now I can actually go into a smaller pair. The problem, now I can't go, there's too much information. Okay, so I go and I went to buy a new pair of pants, but I'm not even going to share the story, it's just too much. Okay, so in Matthew 6:24, he says, no one can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. And then he says, in the end, you cannot serve God and mammon, but I'm going to tell you, you cannot serve God and sin. You can't do it. You can't. You're either going to love God or you're going to love sin, but you cannot combine these two. You can't, these two do not, they mix like oil and water. It just doesn't happen. And so that's what Paul is pointing out. In John, look here in John 8:34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Guys, listen, you know, so many times I hear people go, oh, I don't understand why I can't get closer to God. Well, what else are you getting closer to? There's something in the way of you and God. And if you can't get close to God, it's because you're not letting go of something here. It's in the way. It's a wall. It's a roadblock. There's something. And so what you got to do is you got to look at your life. And you got to say, okay, where is my heart really at? You know, my heart used to be in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I, especially after this past week, I went down there to help my father-in-law fix his house up. Because if we didn't get it fixed, water was going to go in the second floor. And where, of course, if it goes in the second floor, where else is it going to go? To the first floor, right? And cause a lot of damage. And so I got down there, and as I was driving around, I went and visited a few friends. And so as I'm driving around, I went, this isn't home anymore. Like it's... I realized, man, you know what? My home is in heaven. My home is with Jesus. Man, listen, I'm just a sojourner here, man. I'm just kind of walking, doing what I can do for Jesus until it's time to go home. And my heart wasn't there anymore. My heart is here. My heart isn't isn't, it's just here. And so where's your heart? Because wherever your heart is, that's what you're going to be a slave to. You're either going to be a slave to righteousness and a slave to God, or you're going to be a slave to sin and misery. Wishing you had this relationship with God, but the problem is you're not feeding that relationship. And the farther away from God you get, the less you see of Him, and the less you see Him, the less you desire Him. And so don't be shocked when you're not being righteous. Don't be shocked when you're struggling. And so many people say, Pastor, you don't understand. Oh, because I'm not human. You don't understand how hard this is because I'm not human. You don't understand the difficulty in this because, oh yeah, because I'm not human. And well, you're a pastor and you would understand. I get it. I understand. But I also understand that where you spend your time, where you spend your money, where you spend your efforts, that's your heart. You want to know where your heart is? Open your checkbook. You go, oh, you're meddling. That's my job. Open your checkbook. When's the last time you gave God anything? I'm just curious. I mean, don't, obviously that's not a question looking for an answer, but for you to answer it yourself. Look at your calendar. How too busy are you to serve God? Listen, I'm going to tell you what. We are in absolute need of people to serve in this church. Absolute need of people. But let me say this. If you're not qualified to serve in that area, we're not in that big of a need. But I'm trying to be kind, right? Because listen, not everybody has the same gift in ministry, amen? And so if it's not your ministry, then we'd have to pull you out, and then you're going to have hurt feelings, but that's another story. So anyway, we're in need of people to serve, and there's people who have the ability to serve, but you know what? You're too busy. Well, you're too busy to serve God. You have too many bills and too many other enjoyments to give to God, and you are too busy doing other things to give time to God, such as read and pray. How do you think you're growing closer to the Lord? It's not going to happen. Distance does not make the heart grow fonder. It creates memories. Oh, I remember when. Man, I'm going to tell you guys, whatever you're serving, that is what you are a slave to. I want you to look here at Luke 6:46. It'd be up on the board. Luke 6:46. In Luke 6:46, it says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Why do you call it, oh, Lord, Lord? You know what Lord means when you say Lord, Lord? It means Lord of my life. Lord that I love. Lord that I follow. Lord that I listen to. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you say I am the head of your life, but yet you do not do the things which I say? Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, you'll do what I say. How much do we love the Lord versus ourself? See, guys, this is real easy. Paul isn't making this difficult. He is not making it absurd to understand. He is simply pointing out what we don't like. Amen? That's really all he's doing. He's pointing out what we don't like. And that becomes a struggle for us. And then we get defensive. And because you know what? I can tell you right now, there's some of you sitting in your chair, and you don't like everything I've said. And that's cool, because my job is to create a little rash to get you moving, right? And so I don't expect you to like everything that I say. I don't like everything that I say. And but if I can challenge you and if I can move you, and there's some of you sitting in your seat justifying your position. Well, Pastor, you know, I can't give to the church. Was that all you want is my money? Yes, that's all I want is your money. I can't give to the church. I can't give to the Lord. I can't do that. I got too many bills. Oh, you have too many other gods. Pastor, I would love to serve. I would love to help. But Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have time. Oh, yeah, because you got to serve yourself. I get it. And you're going, you don't understand. I do understand. Other things are more important than the Lord. And you go, I don't like that. I wish I had an answer for you. I don't care. Luke 6:46. I had a whole week of driving. I was coming back from North Carolina yesterday. I'm a little sleep depraved right now, so maybe that's what's causing my issue. But anyway, so I leave Raleigh to come home yesterday evening, and I am not kidding you, from North Carolina to Jersey, it rained so hard, there were times I couldn't see the car in front of me. So as I'm doing 80, I'm like, Jesus, just move them out before I get there. Jesus, just slide them over, right? I'm not kidding you. It was raining so hard. So I finally get to Maryland, at Delaware, somewhere in there, and it's raining. I'm raining miserably, and I pull in, and I'm tired. I'm so exhausted. I just want to go to sleep, but I can't sleep. I got to drive. So I go, man, I'll go in and get me some Starbucks. Triple shot. That's all I'm saying. And I'll say, give me the triple shot first, and then I'll chase it with the rest of the coffee. And so, anyway, I go in there, and I look. You ever do this? You go in, and because you're already set, right? My heart was set. My mind was set on Starbucks. And I get in there, and I'm like, there's no Starbucks. Get the owner out here now. So I'm desperate for some energy. I go in, and I see these five-hour energy drinks. Anybody ever have one? Some of you are like, every day. I've never had one before. But I've realized that's cheaper than coffee and works just as well. I'm going to save a few dollars now. So at any rate, I did the 5 hour and kind of came to life and brought the plane on home. Amen. It was good. That's all I wanted to say about that story. Okay, here we go. In Luke 6:46, did I already use that one? I don't want that one. All right. Let's go to verse. Milton, I should have let you preach, brother. I thought this was a good idea until I got up there. Now I'm not so sure. All right. Let's look here. Milton's like, are you sure, Pastor? I'll preach for you. Look, I'm embarrassed. Do you see my face turning red? I'm starting to sweat. I need air conditioning. Is it hot in here or is it just me? How many say it's hot? Ooh, you guys win. Oh, yeah, you guys win. All right, hold on a minute, and then we're going to get back. Hey, listen, today is just a day. All right, you'll forgive me because the Bible says you have to. You'll love me because the Bible says you have to. It's like I tell my wife, you can't leave me because the Bible says you can't. Verse 17. 16. Let's reread 16. Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves with whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. He's simply saying, listen, you were slaves to sin, but now you have been delivered. You were slaves to sin, but now God has spared you. God has, you have seen truth, you have heard truth, you've received truth, and so now you should no longer be slaves to sin, because if you remember last week, I said it's your choice. And so whether you're a slave to sin or not, it's your choice. It's what you want to do. But Paul says, man, thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, because now you have a choice. Now you understand the difference between right and wrong. Now you can choose the flesh or you can choose righteousness. Now you decide who your God is. Is it you or is it Jesus Christ? And the one you serve, that's your God. And so some of you are going to go, hey, Jesus is my God. He is my Lord, but yet you don't serve him. Do not be deceived. He is not your God. He is not your Lord. You are. Guys, I'm just trying to keep this real simple and so that we can understand what's going on. Look here in 17:18. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Jesus Christ comes into your life. How many, when you received Christ, your life changed dramatically? When you received, you made all these big, listen, when I got saved, there was no question, my life changed dramatically. As a matter of fact, people went, who's this guy? I remember Sherry's dad made this comment. Well, prior to me getting saved, even her mom, love you, Mom, She watches. Even her mom would look at her and say, we split up a couple of times because I was too busy wanting to be crazy. And so her mother said, don't you think God is trying to tell you something? Stay away from him. Right? And her dad was like, man, who can I hire to take him out? I mean, that's just kind of what it was. So then I get saved. And all of a sudden they go, wow, that's a different person. And even her dad said, man, there has to be a God to change him like that. That's how dramatic it was for me. People see that, and Paul says, listen, you've been changed in 18, and having been set free from sin, listen, when you're set free from sin, you think different, you talk different, you act different. And if you're not thinking different, talking different, and acting different, it's probably because you are not different. Or you have chosen, because remember that free will we talked about last week, that choice, or you have chosen to stay in the flesh, to serve yourself rather than your God or your creator, because you become your own God. And Paul says there's no reason for that, man. You have been set free. And people go, Pastor, I don't know why it's so hard for me to live a righteous life. I know why it's so hard for you to live a righteous life, because you're deciding not to live a righteous life. You're deciding to serve the flesh. You're deciding to serve yourself. That's why it's so hard. You are not letting go. You are incredibly selfish. And you go, oh, here we go, Pastor. I don't like that. I don't care. You're incredible. Listen, it don't matter. You're incredibly selfish, and it's all about you. That's why you can't change. Paul says you've been freed from that. Listen, if you're holding on to that, it's because you desire that, not because you have to stay there. You know, before Jesus, he says, listen, before Jesus, listen, you had every excuse in the world. You didn't know any better. After Jesus, you can't claim ignorance. I know we like to, amen?
I didn't know.
I mean, my favorite thing is to ask for forgiveness rather than permission. I get it. But you can't claim ignorance. Paul says, listen, you can't do that. Look here in Galatians 3:10. Guys, I hope I'm staying in order. I don't even know right now. So anyway, Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law, in other words, you're trying to be good, do good, work your way into heaven. For many of those works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, what he's saying is, if you think that being good is good enough, then you go ahead. But if you've offended one, or if you've broken one law, you've broken them all. And he says, so listen, if you can't keep every law written in the book, you're cursed. How many can keep every law written in the book? I'm the only one? Oh. Yeah, right? None of us can. And that's what he says. And so you are cursed. But because of Jesus Christ, we have been set free. Because of Jesus Christ, we now have understanding. We don't have to worry about good works. We don't worry about the law. We don't worry about doing good. Here's what we worry about. Serving Jesus Christ. Keeping his commandments. Doing what he tells us to do. Why? Because we love him more than we love ourselves. Amen? The problem is, guys, we are pretty self-absorbed, aren't we, most of the time? Somebody say amen. So you're the guilty ones. Okay, I'm there with you. Sometimes it just is tough, right? And Paul says, you've been set free from that. You do not need to stay there. The problem is, guys, is our heart. Look here in Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. If you're serving yourself, it's not up here. The issue is not what you think. The issue is really what you desire. If you are self-serving, that's why he says you keep your heart with all diligence. And that word diligence literally means with great discipline, with great effort to keep your heart. Because here's the truth, guys. How much easier is it to just do wrong? Amen? I was talking to my girls one time, and I go, listen, if you lie to me, and I find out, I own you. Right? Some of you parents like that, some of you didn't. I said, I own you. And their response was, and I'm not going to tell you which one, obviously. Dad, you don't understand how hard it is sometimes not to lie to you. Well, do you know what the problem is? They're struggling to keep their heart with all diligence. Because if you have an issue and you're living in sin and you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, listen, you have issues of life, it's because this isn't right. You have issues, I want out of this job. Well, what's your attitude toward the job? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord. So who are you working for, you or the Lord? Why do you have issues? It's because your desire isn't right. Your desire should be, listen, okay, I hate this job, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the best of it, and I'm going to serve the Lord through this so that people can see Jesus until Jesus moves me somewhere else. Amen? How many times do we see people do that? I went to Bojangles. How many know what Bojangles is? Oh, praise Jesus for Bojangles. For a week, I lived off of Bojangles. And here's what I would get for breakfast. I would get a chicken, bacon, cheese biscuit with extra bacon. And it would be the spicy chicken filet. And then I would do this. And some of you are going to go, that's gross, but it's not. Go south and get one and you're going to love it. Open the biscuit up. It'll be hot. Take a moment with it. And then put some strawberry jelly on it. Milton, yeah, baby. Put it back together. Bless it. Bless it. And then eat. I had that multiple times. I'm almost forgetting where I went. I got so caught up in my biscuit. Oh, and then you got to do sweet tea. Yes, sweet tea. So sweet, your lips stick to your teeth. And bow rounds. How many know what a bow round is? Bow rounds are little hash rounds about that big with onion in them. Already cooked in, baked in. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where I'm at now. I got so caught up in my Bojangles. That was my heart's desire. Obviously, right? I don't even know where I was going. It really doesn't matter. It was a great illustration. I should have wrote it down. Now you know what I had. But at any rate, it was my heart to have Bojangles. Let's move on. Chaw, go on. Guys, I don't do drugs. I just want you to know. I don't even know where I was. Milton, next time I do this, you're preaching. I'm just saying. You're preaching. So, guys, I am so sorry. Forgive. Yeah, if nothing else, you go home feeling good. All right, here we go. Not my intent, but it'll happen. Okay. Having been free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. It is your choice. You're either going to serve sin, serve yourself, or you're going to serve God. Let's move on to 18. 19. I speak in human terms because of... That clock's not moving fast enough. Here we go. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And so here's what happened. He says, listen, you now are born again. You now have Jesus Christ. You now have a choice. You can present yourselves. And he says, so present yourselves. What he's really saying, guys, and listen, it's the same thing as last week. He says, make the decision to serve God. Make the decision to do right. Make the decision to get rid of sin. Make the decision, and you go, I can't. Well, the reason you can't is because your heart is fixed on what's wrong. It's kind of like drug addicts. And I can talk about drug addicts because, listen, I was one. And you say, was? Once you're an addict, you're always an addict. Man, Christ took that away. I'm not an addict. I'm a child of God. But it's kind of like being a drug addict. People go, I just can't let it go. I got a friend who goes, I just can't quit smoking. Been trying for years. I can't quit. And I looked at him and I said, it's because you love those cigarettes more than you love Jesus. And he goes, oh, that's not it. I go, come on, dude. That's exactly what it is. Because Jesus even says, listen, when we put forth effort, and then he says, you haven't tried until you bled. In other words, you haven't put so much in there where it's cost you blood, so you haven't tried hard enough. Paul says, now that you have been delivered, look here in Ephesians 1:7. In Ephesians 1:7, in him, who's him? Jesus. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You have the ability now. You have a choice, whereas before Jesus you didn't have a choice. You were just going to live in sin because you didn't know any better. You didn't have a different desire. So now you have the ability. We have been redeemed through the forgiveness of Christ's blood. And then Paul says, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a decision. Isn't that what he says in 19? So now, because of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness, he says, so now present your body, live your life, is what he's saying. Present your body or live your life. Present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Every one of us know that when we do right, there's such a peace that comes over you, amen? And a relaxing, because you don't have to do this. I know when I was living that lifestyle before I was saved doing all everything I shouldn't do, here's what I constantly did all the time. And when I went to a restaurant, do you know where I sat? My back against a wall. I wanted to see who was coming. How many have been there, amen? I wanted to see who was coming and going, who came into the restaurant. I wanted to know that nobody could come up on me. Listen, I was constantly aware of everything that went on because you don't relax. And then I get saved, and when I get saved, it was dramatic. It was life-changing, life-altering. I never went back. And the reason was because, see, listen, I'll give you a little bit of my testimony. I started smoking cigarettes at 7 years old. I started doing drugs at 9 years old. I was an addict by the time I was 12. In and out of rehab several times by the time I was 16. Then I moved out of the house and I bounced around from street to street basically for about a year. And then I got a job where I was old enough to work and actually rent an apartment. And so then I went ahead and got a place to live and then obviously continued to live that life. And so as you live those kind of lives, you create a lot of enemies, amen. I mean, I would deal drugs, I would of course then you got to collect and you know stuff like that. So it would get sometimes it would get ugly. And you always had to watch out. Well then I got saved, and when I got saved, the day I got saved at that time, I was probably drinking anywhere from a 12-pack to a case a day of beer, 2 to 3/5 of whiskey a week, plus I was smoking the dope, popping the pills, and so on and so forth. And then Jesus loved me enough to forgive me and save my soul. And I remember going home that Sunday, and of course my house was full of the junk, you guys understand. And I remember I went through throwing everything out and flushing it down the toilet or pouring it down the sink or burning it, and not to smoke, but you know, destroying it. And then throwing it all away, just getting rid of it. I went through my whole household that day. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm giving it all up for you. And I'm trusting you. And I remember I locked the door. And I sat down on the couch. I already knew what was going to happen, amen. I knew the withdrawals. I knew the sweats and the vomiting and all that junk that comes with it. I knew what was coming, and I was just going to ride it out. There's no need to go to the hospital. There's no need to get medicine to baby me off of it. Just suck it up and deal with it, amen. I know some of you go, do you know how hard it is? yes. Suck it up. Man, don't wean it out. Don't prolong it. Just go through it and be done. Amen. I know I'm extreme. I get it. And so I sat down on the couch and I was just going to ride it out. 3 days later, not one cold sweat, not one shake. My hand was as steady then as it is now. I never had no vomiting, no nothing, no withdrawals whatsoever. Now, any of you know that when you go clean by day three, you're in trouble, man. This is a bad day for you. Like, you better hold on, cling on to something because, Velcro in because it's going to be a tough ride. Day three, nothing. And I knew right then God had delivered me. He had touched me, and he took it all away. I said, okay, God, I'm in. I'm in. And from that moment on, I've been sold out for Jesus. You make a decision for God, he'll deliver you. If he chooses to let you go through the withdrawals, so be it. Go through it. If he chooses you to deliver you from it, then so be it. He'll deliver you. But no matter what he does, you have been free from that lifestyle, Paul says. Now live unto righteousness. Quit making excuses. Quit trying to find a patsy. Quit trying to find a reason to hang in there, to do what you know you don't need to be doing, and move on. Move on serving the Lord. Move on making time for the Lord. Move on giving to the Lord to show him you love him. Listen, you don't buy his love. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that. But what I'm saying is when you love God more than you love yourself, your investment will be in his things, not your things. Amen? I'm just saying. And Paul says you now have that decision because of Ephesians. Because of Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood because of forgiveness of sins. And Paul says here in 19, present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And he says, now do it. In other words, now make the decision. You want your life to change? Change it. You want something different? Do something different. Why is it that we think that we can keep doing the same thing the same way over and over and expect a different result? If you want it to be different, be different. If you want it to stay the same, then don't change anything. But then also understand it's your decision that did it. It's your decision that kept it there. Psalm 40, verse 2. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. The interesting thing is, if you go in Matthew and you read the event in Matthew where it talks about building a house on solid ground, and he says some build it on sand, and some built the foundation on solid rock. Who decided to build the house? The man did. Who builds our house? We do. Are you going to build it on Christ and allow him to set your feet upon a rock? Or are you going to build it on sand, which, by the way, is anything other than Jesus Christ? And if you, whatever decision you make to build your house and to put that foundation on, that's going to determine your life. And if you build it on sand and it collapses, remember who built the house. You build it on the rock and it stands, remember who kept it up. Guys, I'm telling you, the whole point of Paul walking through this and telling us, he says, listen, I want you to know that your life is your decision. Your life is your decision. Your defeats are your decisions. And you go, I can't control whether I'm defeated or not. Yes, you can. Because you know what? If you lose a battle in life, but you lived under Christ and you showed godliness through it all, then you had victory. You didn't lose anything. But if you lose your life because you're living in sin, which by the way brings death, understand who brought it. Who decided it. Amen? We have to remember that these are our decisions. Colossians 2:6-7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. See, listen, he says, rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith. That word established means that you are there to stay. Established in the faith as you have been taught, because now you understand you're not, this isn't something new. You're growing in grace, yes, your maturity level is going to change as you grow in grace. But listen, you have been taught. Last week you were taught. This week you were taught. Next week you'll be taught. So we're really without excuse, amen? If you, listen, why is it that we expect more out of our children than what we think God should expect out of us? If our children gave us the excuses that we give the Lord, I'd beat the snot out of them. Do you think I am that stupid? Get to your room. I'd do it. That's what I was taught. But think about that for a second. Think about that. Don't go home and beat your children like that. If you do, wear soft shoes that doesn't leave bruises. But think about that. How many here, honestly, if your children gave you the excuses that you give God, that you just want to high-five their face? How many here? Yeah, right? If you're being honest, you're like, get out of your room. Don't, what? We're going to talk about lying later, right? Okay, maybe I'm really preaching bad today, or you guys just don't like the message. It don't matter, we're moving on. Here we go. Verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. In other words, you didn't know any better. So you weren't expected to live a righteous life? It was understood why you would live in sin, because you didn't have the Holy Spirit to help you live in the Spirit. So Paul says, listen, there was no expectation of you to live in righteousness. But now that you have Jesus Christ, there's an expectation. And now you don't have an enemy. God's not your enemy. Now God is your Father. And so listen, do not think for one moment that as you walk through life and you live in sin or you live in an unrighteousness, when you know Christ is your Savior, that Jesus will not discipline you now. You know, there's a difference between he's going to treat you as an enemy to where he treats you as a child of his. And now he'll discipline you, which, by the way, can sometimes be pretty severe. Amen? And don't get mad at God. Look at your life, because now you're being held accountable. And just think about what you'd do with your children if you did what you're doing to the Lord. It kind of helps bring it into perspective. Amen? And that's what Paul is telling us. Verse 21, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. First he tells us, don't expect to live in righteousness. Go to Romans 8:8. Do we have that up here? Did I give that to you? That's all right. We're close enough. I'll read it right here. Romans 8:8 says this. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're living in sin, you cannot please God. If you're serving yourself, you cannot please God. Now, you think you are, right? Because I love when you tell people, I'll talk to them, I go, you can't do that. And you go, well, I don't see a problem with it. Well, you can't, it's wrong. Well, I don't see a problem with it. And then they'll say this, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. And that's why you can't please God when you're living in the flesh. You think you can do what you want to do and it's not going to have repercussions? You cannot please God living in the flesh. You cannot, listen, you cannot please God serving your own desires. Some of you want to do things that you just, that's just not right. I was talking to a family the other day, and they're looking to get a divorce. And they're talking about how the children are resilient, they'll be okay. Ask children that have been through divorces, and then you tell me how resilient they are. Man, I'm going to tell you, it's going to drive the girls to do things they shouldn't do and the boys to do things they shouldn't do. And it's going to be destructive to their life. It's not okay. Well, you don't understand. I deserve to be happy. You deserve death and hell. Oh, Pastor, I don't like that. Well, tell God. That's what he said we deserve. Amen? Amen? You deserve death and hell. Nowhere here does it say you deserve to be happy. Well, I can't change the other person. So change yourself. In Ephesians chapter 5, by the way, the message has nothing to do with marriage, but I do. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, it tells the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church. So now all of a sudden we understand what that looks like. Period. Not if the wife is deserving of it or if she's everything you wanted her to be. He says you love her as Christ loved the church, period. Wives, surrender to your husband's authority because he's the head of the house. That's a paraphrase. But it says, wives, respect your husbands, period. Not if they deserve it or whatever, but you do that, period. Just so you know what? If your husband's not loving you, you still respect him. Because that's what God says to do. And you be the godly vessel that God's told you to be. Why? You've been taught, so you know. Husbands, if your wives aren't respecting you, by the way, if your wife isn't making you feel like a hero, wives, you're not respecting your husband. I'm not saying build them up in a false sense, but respect them and know that they're there for you. But either way, no matter what's happening, the bottom line is, wives, you become what you're supposed to be, period. Husbands, you become what you're supposed to be, and guess what you'll have? An amazing marriage. If we would just become what God tells us to be, our life would be amazing. The problem is, we go, ugh. Lord, I don't like what you want me to do here. Lord, I don't agree with that. Right? You tell the wives to respect the husbands, and they're like, when he deserves it. Right? Because that's that women's lib junk coming out. I'm just saying. Or you tell the husbands, man, you got to love her no matter what. You try loving that bitty. That old bat. I can't do it. You know, as I look down, because I don't want to look at anybody when I say stuff like that. And you go, no, it doesn't matter. Listen, you married it. I mean, her. And so, you had to. See, guys, Paul's whole point, whether it's, and that's, so this is a discussion I was having with this couple, and they look at me and they go, I don't agree with any of that. And they're Christians. And I go, well, then destroy your life. It's your decision. And that's what Paul's saying. You now understand righteousness because you have the Holy Spirit, because Jesus Christ died and shed his blood for you. And so now you're no longer innocent, and now you're going to be held accountable. And now that you're held accountable, don't be shocked with the consequences that come along. Don't be shocked with the issues that come along. But you want to have a good life? You live your life as unto the Lord, and then he will bless you, and it'll be good. Because you know the truth is, if your heart is hard toward the things of God, then those, listen, that is where the issues of life come from. Right here. It's going to be your decision. And so Paul says, you know what? In 21, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? I go back and I look at my life and I think, oh my goodness, man, what kind of life was I living? And what fruit was there in the drugs and the alcohol and all the things that I was doing and the violence and all that that was in that world? What fruit is there? None. Absolutely none. What fruit is there in serving sin? Well, listen, here's the thing. We say there's no fruit. Forgive me, I just lied to you. The truth is, the fruit was death and destruction. That was the fruit. And righteousness is fruit of Jesus Christ. I mean, one way or the other, you're going to have fruit. And so he says, what fruit was there in the things of the past? For the end of those things is death. Look here in 22. But now, having been set free from sin, remember last week I said you had your choice? Having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, in other words, servants of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And in the end, instead of death, is everlasting life. It's riches, it's rewards. Look here in Isaiah 64:6. Did I not put it up? That's okay. It says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Now let me tell you this. The filthy rags that he's talking about here, when he says that we are like filthy rags, as you do a study on that, some believe that it was the cloth of the lady's menstrual cycle. But as you study it out, what you're more than likely going to find is that the filthy rags are as those of the rags from a leper. And here's why. We're all like an unclean thing. All of our righteousness are like filthy rags. Our unrighteousness is a disease, guys, that impacts other people. If you look at the rags of a leper, and let's just say that they took the rags off the arm of a leper. What you would have is when they pulled it off, the layer touching the skin, when you pull it back, would look like cottage cheese and blood, if just with some skin in it. Yeah, right? You guys getting the picture, right? Some of your faces tell me you got the picture. And so as you pull it off, but here's the other thing. If that rag were to touch the person that's taking it off, they would get leprosy because it's infectious. And so when you look at this, and he says that all your righteousness are like filthy rags. In other words, here's what they do. They are nasty, and they are full of pus and blood and if it touches anybody else's life, they become or get the same thing. As filthy rags. That's our life. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, our sins, like the wind, have taken us away. That's before Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. But now, having been set free from that. Did you get the picture? Yes. Having been set free from that, right there. We are servants of God, or slaves of God. I'm in Romans 6:22. You have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. All of a sudden, you get that. In James 1:15, I don't know if I gave you that one either. In James 1:15, it says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And so the sin, guys, that he's talking about here in 6:23 is your heart. Remember we talked about life's issues comes from the heart. And so when your heart is set on sin, that's your desire. And then when you take that sin and you start acting it out, you start living that sin out, all of a sudden you're going to give, that's giving birth to it. In other words, now it's alive. Now it's a real living thing. You know, before it was just inside. And then when you act it out, now it's a life. And then when it's full grown, you keep serving that sin. You keep living in that sin. You keep feeding that sin, just like a baby that is going to grow. And when it's full grown, in other words, when it's gone as far as God's going to allow it, death is at your door. Think about that for a minute, guys. When you're struggling, you say, I can't do what's right. It's because you're giving birth to sin. You don't understand, Pastor, how hard it is to... The life issue is coming from here, and you're giving birth to sin. Guys, we got to grab hold of our decisions have a cost. And it's either the fruit of holiness or it's the fruit of death. And that is Paul's whole message here. You have been free. You have been delivered. Now live like it. If you love the Lord, do the things that bring Him honor and glory, not yourself. Which, by the way, if you honor God, man, He's going to give you a life that's amazing. The problem is we want to take shortcuts all the time, right? How many times do we want to take a shortcut? I was leaving the store when I was at Home Depot and getting the stuff for my father-in-law's place, and I don't know who designed the parking lot. They needed to be shot because it was the worst design I've ever seen in my life. Prior to leaving that, there was a lady, I'm standing in line, and this lady has a question, and she's holding a 2x4. How many have ever had a 2x4 under their arm, right? So she's holding the 2x4, and she wants to ask a question, but she's third in line. And she's getting frustrated because she goes, all I have is a question to ask. And I said, well, then ask your question. I'll wait. It's not a big deal. So she gets up there, and she asks a question. The problem is the answer wasn't what she wanted to hear. You see these knots on the side of my head? She got mad and she walked away. And when she walked away, she came across that 2x4 and smacked me in across the head. And I said, you better praise Jesus that I love Him because right now I want to kill you. I didn't say that. But that was like in my mind, right? That was the issue of my heart at the moment. I think that's why I couldn't find my way out of the parking lot because I was still delirious. That might be my problem today. So I had this huge scuff mark, couldn't shave my head for 3 days or else it would bleed. But at any rate, the layout of that parking lot was so difficult because I'd make a right turn and then I'd go to think I could get out that way. And then there's two ways out of the whole parking lot and you had to go drive all the way to the other end. And so anyway, it was just a difficult thing. My whole point is, guys, because I don't know my whole point. The whole point is when you make decisions, they're going to be tough. They're going to be difficult. But there's a way out. And it's Jesus. But it's your decision. Now you can make excuses. And you can complain. And you can do all the things you want to do. But now you know. And so you're going to be held accountable. And when that sin produces its fruit, I hope it was worth it. When that sin comes to fruition, I hope it was worth it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to change that. You say, well, how do I change it? Well, you know, Jesus died for our sins. He shed His blood for you and I. And in order to change your life, you have got to surrender it to Christ. And until you surrender it, you have no hope of righteousness, no chance of life. You're doomed to death. Grim thought, but here's the hope. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine. He conquered death and hell, and he's at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says that if you believe that, then that belief is what saves you. And so if you believe that, but yet you've never gave your life to Christ, I want to give you that moment, that opportunity right now. It's real simple. You just pray this prayer after me, but only if you mean it. Don't have it a head thought. It's got to be a heart thought. It's got to be a desire that you want in your heart. The prayer doesn't save you. It's simply a roadmap to guide you through the process. The words aren't magical. The words just get you to think about what we're talking about. It is your desire in your heart. That is the magic. That's salvation. And so if you wish to receive Christ as your Savior, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have messed up. I have broken the laws. I have come up short. But today, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe that he conquered death and hell. I believe he's sitting at the right hand of you, Father. Today, I repent of all my sins. I ask for forgiveness. And today, I surrender my life to you only because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ.